God. Hallelujah. 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 He's a God who can do anything but fail. He's a God who can make a way when there is no way. He's a God who's a door opener. He's a God who'll put bread on your table. I said, He's a God who'll put a roof over your head. He's Jehovah God, the Lord who heals us. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's our righteousness. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's the banner of victory over you and I. He can do anything but fail. He's a mighty God. The Lord our God in the midst of us is a mighty God. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. And He's our Father. Aren't you glad about it? I said, He's our Father. He's healing. And He's saving. He's setting people free. He's still delivering. He's still setting the drug addicts free. He's still saving people from a devil's hell. He's still delivering through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, glory to God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's worthy tonight. He's a mighty God. Mighty God. He's a mighty God. Oh, He's a mighty God. Glory. How cold. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Is anybody in here, you glad to be saved? Can anybody remember what your life was like before the Lord touched you? Do you remember what your life was like before the Lord saved you? The enemy would tell us, go over there and do this. And bound by the enemy, we would run and do that. And then he'd say, now go over here and do that. Bound by the enemy, we'd run over and do that. And then the enemy would tell us, go do that. We'd run over and do that. Oh, but then came the glorious day when a hand came down out of heaven, and that hand took Satan's hand off of you and I. And that hand said, God said, get your hand off my child. And God set us free by the blood of Jesus and by the power of God. Oh, glory to God. And today we can walk in freedom because Jesus has set us free. We're free. We don't have to be bound no more. I said, we don't have to be sick no more. We don't have to be afflicted no more. We don't have to be poor no more. We don't have to be bound by anything. Glory to God. Our God is the God of victory tonight. I said, He's a God of victory. Glory to God. He's a mighty God. The Lord our God in the midst of us is a mighty God. And there's no problem He can't solve. And do you know one answer from God can come to you just like that? God can turn your situation around just like that. Like you snapped your finger. You can have a situation that's so got you bound up, got you confused. You don't know how to answer, but God can turn your situation around just like that. One word from God. One word from God is all you need. One word can set you free just like that. He can take you. He can take you from need and fill you with abundance just like that. Glory be to God. I said, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Come on and bless Him. If the Lord's ever helped you, lift your hand. If He's ever helped you, if He's ever blessed you, come on, tell Him thank you. Come on, act like you need Him in this place. Tell Him thank you for being so good. Thank you. Thank you. You're a mighty God. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is a good God. I said, He's a good God. You know, Israel's problem was they kept forgetting how good God was. God would deliver them, and they would shout for a moment, and then they would forget what God had done. God would set them free. They would dance for a minute, and then they would forget what God had done. They were constantly in stages of forgetfulness. And when we forget what God has done, we become unthankful. But you can't remember how God has saved you and not lift a hand and tell Him, thank you, Jesus. You can't remember where you were, how lost and bound you were, and not remember what God has done for you and not have that touch your heart and you say, thank you, Jesus. You can't remember what it was like to be a drug addict and God set you free and you have to tell Him, thank you, Jesus. You can't remember what it was like when you were bound by alcohol, but God set you free and you have to tell Him, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. The blood, the blood will never lose its power. Glory to God. And so they kept forgetting. They kept forgetting the Lord. They kept forgetting what the Lord had done. Sit down, grab your Bible real quick. Psalm 106, grab your Bible real quick. They kept forgetting the goodness of God. they kept forgetting what God had done. You know, when we forget what the Lord has done, we become an ungrateful people. When we forget what the Lord has done, we turn into the prayer, "My name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me." When we forget what the Lord has done, we forget to turn and say, "Lord, thank you for saving me." Somebody said, "Preacher, you don't know what problems I have." I know this, your promise is greater than your problem. You said, "You don't know," you say, "Preacher, you don't know the mess I'm in tonight." I know this, God can take your mess and turn your mess into your message. I said, He can do anything but fail. Where did I tell you to go? Psalm 106? It's Psalm 106, verse 7. Look at Psalm 106. I'm reading from the New Living, if you will. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miraculous deeds. And anytime we as a people fail to be impressed by what the Lord is doing, you know, we ought to get up every day excited about the goodness of God. We ought to get up every morning excited about the goodness of God. You say, "Brother, you don't know what problems I have. You don't know what trials I'm facing. You don't know what tribulations I've been through." I tell you what, if you get your eyes off of that and get your eyes onto Jesus. Somebody said, "I don't have anything to thank Him for." Oh, that's where I disagree with you. David said, "Bless the Lord at all times." He said, "Let his praise continually be in my mouth." Psalm 106, verse 7. It says, our ancestors in Egypt, the New Living, were not impressed at the Lord's miraculous deeds. Isn't that something? They weren't impressed. Look at this. It says, they soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. And instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. Look at verse 8. Even so, he saved them to defend the honor of his name and to demonstrate his mighty power. He commanded the Red Sea to dry up. He led Israel across the sea as if it were a desert. So he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. Verse 11, then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Verse 12, and then his people believed his promises and they sang his praise. Isn't that something? Verse 12, it says, then, in other words, after they saw the miracle, after they saw God move, after they saw the manifestation, that's when they wanted to praise him. But do you know faith works the opposite of that, my brother and sister? Our faith works when we're willing to bless him before we see the answer. We're willing to cling to his promise and say, the one who made the promise is worthy of my praise. We have to be able to set our eye on the promise and not move our attention from the promise keeper. I said, God is a promise keeper. The scripture says this about Abraham, why he was so strong in faith is because, listen, he was walking with Isaac and they were walking up the mountain where he was going to sacrifice Isaac. And Isaac didn't know it. And Isaac said, "Daddy, I see the fire. I see the wood. I don't see the sacrifice." And he looked to his daddy for an answer. And Abraham said, "God is going to provide the sacrifice, son." And he kept walking up that hill with his son. And Abraham wasn't sure how God was going to do it. But Hebrews says, looking back on it, Hebrews tells us what Abraham was thinking. Hebrews tells us this, that Abraham was thinking, "God made me a promise. He promised that boy to me. And so if God's going to have me take him, then God's going to bring him back again." And so Abraham had his mind on the promise. I don't care what happens on the mountain. God's promised that boy to me and God's going to bring him back. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. We need to keep our eye on God's promise. So often what we do is we put our eye on the problem. But the Bible says, fixing our hope on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Casting off every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. Yeah. You see, our job is to keep our eye on Jesus. And the scripture says here that Israel, verse 12, it says that then his people believed his promises and then they sang his praise. It was only after that water washed away the Egyptians. That's when they decided to trust him. My brother and sister, whatever you're going through right now tonight, if you'll make that decision to trust him, in spite of what you're going through, in spite of what you're experiencing, if you'll make a decision right now, I'm going to trust you, God, no matter what. The scripture says in Proverbs that we should trust God with all of our heart. Trust him with all of our heart. And if you'll make the decision, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to obey your word and just keep my eye on your promise. And can I tell you this? What God does not deliver you from, listen to me now, he will deliver you through. I said, either way, you're coming out. But what God does not deliver you from, he will deliver you through. And the Hebrew boys, they said, you know, to King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to worship you. We're not going to worship that image that you set up. We're not going to bow to it. And he said, I'm going to burn you in the flame. He turned the flame up 7 times hotter. You've read that story. And he said, I'll give you one last chance to bow. And they said, we don't need another chance. We're not going to bow. And they said this, our God whom we serve day and night will deliver us. And then they said this, even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. They had a made up mind that no matter what happened, they were going to follow God, believe God, obey God, listen to God. And I tell you, if you'll handle whatever your situation is like that, God will bring you through to the other side. They believed his promises and they sang his praise after they saw the blessing. But I tell you, we are a people who need to believe his promises and sing his praise before we ever see a manifestation. I said, we need to believe his promises, sing his praise before we see a manifestation. And so the scripture goes on in Psalm 106 and then verse 13. Yet how quickly they forgot. There it is again. We just read that at verse 7. They soon forgot. Now look at verse 13. Yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. Look down at verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt. Look at verse 24. The people refused to enter the pleasant land. So they forgot all the things that God did, and then they refused to believe. And then as you keep reading, it says they started to grumble. You can see that. You can see that in verse 25. The rest of 24 says the people refused to enter the pleasant land and they wouldn't believe his promise to care for them. And then verse 25, instead they grumbled in their tents and they refused to obey him. And the sad reality is they had an attitude failure. And the scripture says that their attitude, you can see their poor attitude. Verse 16. Go back to Psalm 106, verse 16. The people in the camp were jealous of Moses, envious of Aaron, the Lord's holy priest. And so on and on, they followed this pattern. And when we get over into the book of Corinthians, Corinthians says that what happened to Israel was examples for you and I. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, don't follow their example of unbelief. Don't follow their example of grumbling. Don't follow their example of forgetting. But every day we need to remember what God has done. We need to remember the goodness of God and the grace of God in our lives because he is a mighty good God. Go to the beginning of Psalm 106. Go to the beginning of Psalm 106. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, praise the Lord. Psalm 106, verse 1 and 2. I'm in the New Living. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Now look at verse 2. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? Oh, I tell you what we ought to do. That scripture right there calls you and I to make a list. We ought to have a prayer journal. We ought to have some kind of prayer book, some kind of record of God's goodness. We need to have a record of the goodness of the grace of God. We need to have a record of just how good God has been to us. I said, he's been a mighty good God. I remember when my dad went home to heaven, 2014, January. He went home to heaven the 4th of January. I flew to Jersey, New Jersey, and had to take care of his business and his affairs. And I only had about a week off. My dad had he'd built that house some more than 30 years prior. He had built that house, and it was a 4-bedroom house, split level, full basement, all that. And that house was full of furniture. Every closet was packed. And I had nobody to help me. And I had about a week off, and I just I did. It was just a daunting. I had to get the house on the market, but the house needed repairs. I needed to get contractors to repair it. I needed to get a person to sell the house that I trusted. I've got to come back to Tulsa. It's got to be somebody that I trust. I had so many things on my heart. And I remember thinking, how am I going to get this done? Where do I begin? I got so much to do. I don't know where to start. Down in my spirit, I felt this. You do know where to start. Looked over at my guitar. My guitar was over there in the middle of the floor. Traveled real light with a bag and my worship guitar, you know. And I felt this. You do know where to start. And I looked over at that guitar and I said, oh, Lord, I repent. I was already starting to worry about this. I got so much stuff to do. I went and grabbed that guitar and started singing praises to the Lord. I started blessing his name. Right there in that my dad's house, I started to bless him and to magnify him. And I could sense his presence. You know, there is the spirit within and there is the spirit that will also come upon. And I felt his Holy Spirit so strong. And I'll never forget that. I just felt a strength down in my spirit. And I never forget, I picked up my phone and Googled real estate agents. Of course, there were dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of real estate agents. But a few of them stood out. And so I just wrote those down. And of those few, one of those seemed right. And I just wrote that one down. And I needed an attorney. And there were dozens and dozens and dozens of attorneys. I narrowed it down to a few, and then I prayed over that, and one of them stood out, and I called. The real estate agent showed up. I never forget, he walked around my dad's house, and he said, this house seems familiar. And he said, I've never been in this house, but the plan, the layout seems familiar. He said, now my baby brother, he passed away a couple years ago, the real estate agent told me. And he said, my brother built houses. And he had contracts for several houses in this neighborhood. And this looks like one of the floor plans of my baby brother. And he said, my baby brother, when he would build a house, he would go up on a certain beam in the attic and sign his name. Nobody knew his name was signed on that beam. He said, you mind if we go up in the attic? We went up in that attic. Guess whose name was signed on that beam? His baby brother's name was on that beam. And he said, I'm going to sell this house. He said, I'm going to sell this house in honor of my baby brother. And he did. He took great care of me. I said, God can make a way when there is no way. That house was full of furniture. And one of my dad's friends, his name was Anthony Polo, a wonderful Italian brother. And he called me, Anthony called me, and he said, Bill, he said, I'm your dad's friend. Your dad drove a GTO to church. He said, I hear that rumble of that GTO turning into the church. He said, I worked in the parking lot. I was a parking lot worker. And he said, he had a special place he parked, and he said, I would flag him on in that GTO. That motor just be rumbling. And he said, so your dad and I got to be great friends because I love that kind of car. And he said, I just felt led to call you and ask you, can I do anything for you? And I said, well, thank you for your goodness to my dad. I said, look, I got a house full of furniture. I need some help moving it. It's just me. I got just less than a week, and I got to get all this furniture out of this house. He said, I'll call you right back. He called me back in 5 minutes. He said, I called the pastor of your dad's church, and they have a program where they take men in off the street, teach them a trade, and they train them and so forth. They feed them, house them, clothe, and teach them a trade. He said, the pastor told me, send 8 of those men over there every single day, 8 hours a day, and just tell them what you need. He said, they'll be there in the morning. Sent 8 men. He said, all you got to do is feed them. Sent 8 men for every day I was there. I said, God made a way where there was no way. I said, they said, where are you going to put these things? I called the Salvation Army. I called the Goodwill. I called all these stores. We packed up trucks and sent them out. And the Salvation Army told me, we don't take cloth furniture. And I said, but it's good furniture. It's good. They said, no, we understand, sir. We just don't take cloth furniture here. And so they said, most of the things you want to give, we don't accept. I just had, I packed trucks full and sent them out, but still had just tons of furniture. And I had the men to work. So I called the city. I told the city, I want to put some of these things out at the street. They said, oh, no, you can't put that out on the street. We'll fine you. We'll charge you thousands of dollars. You put stuff on the street. You can't do it. They said, now, if you wait 40 days, we'll consider your case and we'll make a decision whether or not we need to allow you to put stuff on the street. Then we'd send you a dump truck and then you could do what you need. I said, I don't have 40 days. I got 7 days. They said, oh, no, there's no way. I said, well, I've got to get, they said, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. I hung up with them later in the day. I felt led to call them back again. I said, God has a promise that's bigger than your problem. I felt led to call them back again. So I called them back again. They said, didn't you call earlier? I said, yeah. She said, hold on just a minute. Another lady got on the phone. I said, ma'am, I just have a week. She said, I understand your plight. She said, sir, I understand your plight, but we have rules. We have certain conditions that have to be met. You're going to have to wait 30, 40 days. I said, ma'am, I don't have that amount of time. She said, hold on just a minute. She came back to the phone. She said, you know, a bunch of us got to talking, and we're just going to help you out. You put whatever you need out there. We'll send the dump truck anyway. We'll just approve it right now. I said, oh, glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You said, what are you telling us that for? You said, that don't mean anything to me. It meant something to me. To see the hand of the Lord move mightily for me when I had so many things to do. And I will never, ever forget all that God has done for me. What are you saying that for? Because the scripture said we need to keep a list of his miracles. Where is your list? Where is your list of what God has done for you? Where is your list at of the goodness of God? Where is your list when you was crying on a bended knee? Where's your list when you didn't have a job? You went down on a bended knee asking God, I wish I had an amen in here. I said, where is the list that you have where God came through, where God put his favor on you? Where is your list when you wanted that house and you were asking God, Lord, open up the doors for our home? Where is your list when you wanted to get approved for that apartment and you knew you shouldn't have got approved for that apartment, but hey, God made a way for you anyway. Where is your list? You needed a car, but God stepped in and gave you a car just in the nick of time. I said, I was reading in my prayer book, and I said, saw back there 1985 in my prayer book, I saw I needed brakes for my car, needed $80. And that was a big sum of money. 80 bucks might have been 8,000 bucks for me back in 1985 at that time. When you're a student and you paid tuition and you didn't pay rent and you didn't bought a few groceries and now you need 80 more dollars, somebody in here know what I'm talking about. You can sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about if you want to, but somebody right in here know what I'm talking about. And I wrote in my prayer book, I'm believing God for $80 for that break. And then I wrote in there less than a week later that I got some money that came in and God gave me all the money I needed for my breaks. I said, he's a good God. Stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. This is not the way I intended to go tonight. But how many know you need to be prepared to go with the flow? God's trying to tell you and I something tonight. And we need to remember who he is and what he's done. You need to go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. You need to go way back, go way back, 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 go back. You was living in the world. Go back, go back. You was walking around like a drunk. Go on back. You was walking around as a drug addict. Go on back. You was living wild in the streets. Go on back. You was partying and clubbing and living like a child of the devil. Go on back. But God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his love demonstrated his love for you, and he saved you and blessed you and led you out of a devil's hell. Oh, yes, he did. God lifted you up when nobody could help you up. God held you up when nobody could hold you up. God propped you up when you couldn't hold yourself up. I said, he's been a good God to you. Go on back. Go on back. You needed bread on the table, but God opened the door. God put bread on your table. Go back. Go back. Go on back. You needed a car to drive. You was out there at the bus stop like me, but God came in, hey, and made a way where there was no way. And he can make rivers out of a desert. And he is a door opener. And he is a need meter. He's a way maker. And he can do anything but fail. And he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our trust. And you ought to go back, going back, going back when you was down there at the bus stop. You driving a nice ride now, but going back when you was driving the hoopty. Going back. When you could close your door, you didn't worry about locking it. When somebody came to rob your car, they would put $5 in there before they took anything out of there. Go on back and think about how good he's been. You needed his favor to come upon you. because you was believing for a job. Go on back. Go back. You was on a bended knee asking God, Lord, bring that special someone into my life. And God did it. I said, he's a good God. I said, he sustained you. I said, he's made a way for you. I said, he's been a father to the fatherless. He's been a husband to the widow. He's been a strengthener to those who are discouraged. He's been an uplifter of every bowed down head. You need to go back and consider what God has done. Consider how he's touched you. Consider how he saved you. And we were on vacation in New Jersey few months ago, and we were in New Jersey, and I told my sweet wife, Tony, I want to go by the College of Rutgers University, where I went to school. And we went by Rutgers, and Tony was talking this and that, and I was going back. I was on the campus, and it was just so nostalgic. See, that's where I got born again. I got born again, started following Christ on that campus. And I could see myself walking that campus with my Bible. I could see. And Tony talking, say, well, what is this, Boo? I said, oh, girl, Boo, we used to come out here. We used to witness for Christ. We used to come over here for Bible study. We used to come. This is where I started walking with Jesus, right here on this campus. God was so good to me. God made a way where there was no way. God touched me and helped me. God saved me right here. Filled me with the precious Holy Spirit. I said, he's a mighty good God. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. And he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Come on, lift. I can't hitchhike on your testimony. Lift your hands. You tell him, come on, one more time. Come on, bless him. If he hadn't been any good to you, you can leave your hands down. But if God has been good to you, lift your hands. Come on, let's bless him and thank him. God, you've been so good. 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 I want to sing that song that we were singing one more time. You've been so good. Let's sing one more time before we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are good.
Yes.
You're good.
Come on.
Oh,
I'll tell him now. Come on.
Good.
He's so good.
Good.
You're so good.
Good. Oh.
Oh, thank you, Father. We bless you tonight. We honor you as our prayer workers come. We thank you for all you've done. You've been such a good God. Someone tonight wants help, wants prayer, wants agreement. Oh, well, ladies, come to the ladies. Guys, come to the guys. You need help. You need prayer. You want to be saved. You want to be filled with the Spirit. You want to have somebody agree with you in prayer. You got a prayer request. Guys, just come on down here to the guys. Ladies, come on to the ladies. I want you to leave here thinking about the goodness of God to you. I want you to think how God has made a way for you, how God has opened doors for you. I want you to leave here thinking about his goodness, the joy that he's given to you. Oh, I know we've gone through things. I know we've had problems. I know we've had bumps in the road. That's all right for that, but that don't mean 2 cents worth of nothing compared to God's goodness. Oh, when we compare that stuff that we've been through in the light of his goodness for all of eternity, oh my, let's proclaim his goodness tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you for being a prayer answering God. We bless you, thank you, honor you for all of your goodness and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my brother and sister, you're dismissed. Go your way rejoicing. Don't forget, make a list of the good things God has done for you. We'll see you right here Wednesday night. Hour of Power. God bless you, one and all.